Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Thanking God for his mighty, awesome, and beautiful word. For he is God, and he is great and greatly to be praised. And we are blessed to be alive today because somebody didn't make it. Whew, hallelujah. But we are one of the ones who did, as the wine and sing. Father God in heaven, we are so thankful to be your children. Lord God, we are thankful that you know every hair that is numbered on our heads, that you graciously woke us up this morning to give us an opportunity for a do-over, an opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday, to do more for the kingdom than we did yesterday. Lord God, I ask your blessings over your children, over your churches, over your ministries, Lord God, especially over your pastor that must preach a word of faith to those that have become faithless, for salvation for the unsaved, and for clarity for those that are living in a fog. But Lord God, you are clarity, you are salvation, you are absolutely everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. Father God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak this morning are acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my father and I am your child. Lord God, I ask you to allow this word to permeate spirits, hearts, and minds, that those that hear it, those that read it, may feel your presence and the presence of the Savior and the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that you touch someone's heart, mind, and spirit. They will be filled up from the crowns of their head to the soles of their feet with the Holy Spirit that you have given us. Father God, that their light will shine wherever they go in the darkness, that those that see them will see you and see right from wrong, love from hate, peace from war. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I lift up our nation, my nation, asking you, Lord God, to unite us in love, that we will remember those fruits of the Spirit, that we will not allow divisive rhetoric and hateful speech to divide us from a united nation. Lord God, I pray for this nation that we will come back to you, to the God of creation that made the heavens and the earth and that allow us to live on this beautiful planet that you made for us. Lord God, I ask forgiveness for anything that has been spoken or said against your divine majesty. I repent of anything that I may have done, known and unknown. Please forgive me, Lord, that when I speak your word, I speak it with a clean heart and a righteous spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, I continue to give you honor and glory. And it is in his name I pray, thanking you, Father God, for your increase as I decrease. Speak through me, Lord, that someone may be saved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. And I can say this morning, girl here was sleeping real good. Literally, shook and woke me up. And it was like a disorientation because I couldn't remember where I was. I was asleep. I don't know what I dreamed. So if you ask me, I can't tell you. I don't remember. But I am thankful for a peaceful, peaceful sleep. I'm thankful for a good rest that only. So we're going to get into our word this morning. We're going to start a little different because as I speak on Fridays and Sundays, we do either New Testament or Old Testament. And today we're going to do the Old Testament, but I'm going to read our Psalms and Proverbs first so that when we get into Genesis, we'll just be strictly in Genesis and not have to deviate from Genesis. So we will be reading this morning our Psalm, which is where our word comes from today. Psalm chapter 8. Is where our word is coming from. And our title is, What is a Man? That you are mindful of him. We are grateful today that God has given us this wonderful, wonderful word. What is a man that you are mindful of him? God is mindful of us. He knows everything about us. He cares about us, and he wants the best for us. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God and be called the sons and daughters of God. And so our word starts this morning. We're going to start in our title scripture, and then we will go into Genesis. And the word that God gave me this morning is this, Psalms 8. And Psalms 8 starts with, it says, it's to the chief musicians of the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. And it says, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Come on now. That just starts off, it sends chills down your spine because he is our Lord. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is a man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. What is a man that you are mindful of him? That word just does something to me. You know, one of my favorite songs is Friend of God by Israel Houghton and New Breed. And it starts up, who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? You know, God thinks of me. He thinks of you. He thinks of us. What is a man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man, that you visit him. God visits us. God visits you. He visits me. We are blessed beyond measure. Hallelujah. I am excited about you. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Giving honor to God this morning. And just a quick life lesson. of Psalms, and it says, what is a man, that's our word, that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him. The more we learn about the vastness of the universe, the more powerful this question becomes. Although we are but a speck drifting in the immensity of the cosmos, God places his love and unwavering attention on us. Showed out this morning. That is an awesome life lesson, because we are a creation of the Most High, and he loves us so much that he thinks about us, that he knows every hair on our head. He has numbered them. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. And this is what our Proverbs says this morning. And we're coming from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 20. And it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For he perceived, for her perceived are better than the profits of silver, and her gain fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. Those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. But we're going to go back to Proverbs verse 1 of chapter 3 so that we get this back in context, because, you know, we read a little bit at a time that we don't get it all when we go from day to day. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to go back to Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1, and we're just going to read the whole thing. And then we'll go into our Old Testament word this morning. There we go. Just a moment. Like I said, this word is just too good. I like to keep things in context, because sometimes we can read, especially the Proverbs and the Psalms, we only get like a snippet every day. And sometimes the word is just too rich that you need to get the whole thing in context. That's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to go to chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs, and we're going to read the whole thing. Because we all know that's where our favorite scripture comes from, but I just want to get it all down together. And we're going to only read up to verse number 20. And then we'll go back into our Old Testament word. And so I just wanted to get it all together. And as we go to verse 1, it says, my son, and this is a guidance for the young. It's a title. You know, when you go to your word, it says guidance for the young. And it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my long life in peace. They will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's mercy and truth. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And this is, you know, this is that memory scripture that should always be in your memory arsenal. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I like to say that's a highlightable. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's another highlightable. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. When you got that down, you got the verses 5 through 8, you know you got, you God's giving you something. You know, that's one of those, that whole section is highlightable. And then it's like let me just call it straight. All the Proverbs pretty much are highlightables. You know, you got your yellow highlight, and you got your blue highlight, and you got your green highlight, but it's all highlightable. And it goes on to tell us, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. In other words, pay your tithe. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son whom he delights. Come on now. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Y'all caught that? Wisdom. And the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds, wisdom and understanding are in the feminine. You know, it's like we are wisdom. We are understanding. Come on now. But we know that it's all God. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. Wisdom and understanding is more precious than rubies. And all things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Hallelujah. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discernment so they will be light to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Hallelujah. Hands up. I had sweet sleep, if that's such a thing. I slept real good last night. Real good. And it goes on to tell us, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in the power of your hands to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Come on now. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Are you listening? For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. And that is the Proverbs word. You know, I didn't plan on reading all of it, but that's what God put in my heart to put it all in context. And so we have finished the Proverbs for a while, but we will probably go over certain ones again as we go through our word this morning. Now, we are going to be coming from Genesis today, and on Sunday, we will be in Matthew. So let's get started on this word. And all I can say is, join me, what must I say? It is a great word. Yes, it is. I can't help it. I get giddy for Jesus. So if you're one of those, you know, stick in the mud, head in the air, this probably is not the blog for you. Because I get excited. We get excited. We like to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. And if there is anyone out there that is listening that would like to read scripture, just push the number 1 on your phone at 213-943-3597, and we will read together. Hallelujah. For this is not just mine, this is ours. Hallelujah. I am, I'm all giddied up this morning. And the word of God that comes from Genesis chapter 29, verse 1, land of the people of the east. Now, remember, on yesterday's word, the little trickster and his mama tricked his brother out of his birthright. So he's, I mean, out of his blessing. He had already got the birthright for a bowl of stew. And so now he got the blessing for another bowl of stew. But this time it was to his dad. So Esau came in from the field. Remember this word. Esau came in from the field, all famished, and Jacob had made a great stew, and it was smelling good. Had all, you know, beans and lentils, and it was just good, smelled good, and obviously tasted good. And Esau, I'm famished, I'm hungry, you know, and I'm paraphrasing. And he said, okay, I'll let you have some, but you got to give me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. So he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Okay. Caught him hungry, and he didn't think about it. He didn't appreciate what he had. Then dad is getting sick and getting old and possibly ready to die, and he wants to give the blessing to his eldest son. So he says, go and hunt me some game, make me, you know, the stew that I like to eat from what you make. And he went out, he did a hunt, and he did everything he was supposed to do. But in the meantime, his mama had heard everything and had gone to her youngest son, whom she had a favorite. He was a favorite. We call it, and that's why I say parents don't have favorites. Don't do that. Love your kids equally. And so she talked Jacob into pretending to be Esau. And so she even put lamb's wool on his arms so his arms would be hairy like Esau. Put him in Esau's clothes so he would smell like Esau. And made this delicious meal that she knew her husband would want. And so he came in and he said, well, you sound like Jacob. You know, so he smelt him. But you feel, he touched him and smelt him. He smelt like Esau, and he smelled like Esau, felt and smelled like Esau. Because remember, Isaac was going blind at the time. So he couldn't see, but he could, you know, he had those other senses, smell, taste, hear, and all those things. And so he gave the blessing to Jacob. And then when Esau came, he said, I'm sorry, you know, it's already gone, you know. And, you know, that's painful. You know, when you read it, it's so painful because you feel Esau's pain. And then Rebekah sends Jacob on to her brother, Laban. Now we're getting ready to find out that this trickster business is in the family. It's a bloodline thing. Mama's a trickster, son's a trickster. Now we're about to find out what uncle can do. So let's get into the word this morning, and it is a great word. So Genesis chapter 29, verse 1. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. And then he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. So he said to them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. Then he said, look, it is still a high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together. And they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative. and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass, when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his father, to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him 4 months. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. You know, I got to amplify here. Hold on just a second. Let me go to my amplified and we're going to talk about those delicate eyes. Just a minute. I just, it's kind of sad because let's just kind of call it. Leah was not the beauty. She was not. She was not a beauty. She was just the oldest. And I'm sure that all her life she had to deal with folks falling all over Rachel because she was beautiful. And this is what it says. Leah's eyes were weak, is how it says it in the Amplified. Leah's eyes were weak. And let's see. I got all my little Bibles around. Hold on just a minute. Let me get another one. You know, you kind of feel for her. I feel for her that, you know, she was not pretty. She was not a pretty girl. You know, she was just kind of Let me see what Holman says. Get back to our word here. You know, I have known many times where you've been around people where folks just gush all over one of the children because they are cuter than maybe the other one. You know, but it is not right. And how it says in the Holman's Bible says, Leah had ordinary eyes, but Rachel was shapely and beautiful. You know, whereas I believe King James says something different. Let me get my King James out here. It's always good to read different Bibles and get it from different perspectives of things. Because then you see kind of the whole big picture. And in King James, it says Leah had tender eyes. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. You know, Rachel was beautiful in every Bible. But Leah had weak eyes in some and tender eyes in others and ordinary eyes in others. You know, so you just know that Leah was not the beauty. Leah's eyes were delicate. I like that word. But Rachel was beautiful. Every last book of the Bible you read, whether it's Holman's, whether it's, you know, whether it's New King James, whether it's King James, Rachel is beautiful in every one. And it says, now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. And he went into her, and Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. This man that got going to get 14 years out of Jacob for his two daughters. Filled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel to wife also. So he worked 7 years and a week for Rachel, but then he has to work another 7 years. So 14 years and a week is what he worked to get Rachel. Now understand, he wanted Rachel. Leah was the side. Yeah, it's like, I know she's my first wife, but Rachel is who I love. And this is what it goes on to say. And Laban gave his maid, Bilhah, to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. Called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Four sons. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, get me children or else I die. Now you can understand over your life. You can speak a curse, because not what did she say? Give me children or else I die. And this goes on to tell us, and Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Because he understood that children come from God. They come from God. Yes, he gives the seed in men, but from God, our children come from God. So she said, here is my mate. Yeah, okay, does that sound so much like her husband's grandmama? It surely does. Sounds a little like Sarah, not trusting in God. I'm going to give you my maid. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, and I also may have children by her. Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid, Bilhah, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrake. And of course, Leah, now, you know, you think about it. This has caused dissension between these sisters. You have one that is beloved, and the husband, you know, is crazy about her. She's the absolute, I call it an apple of his eye kind of thing. And then you have the one sister who is just like, she's basically a baby maker. I mean, I'm just being honest. He, you know, because he didn't stop. You know, he might not have been in love, but he was so getting busy with four women. I'm just going to call it like it is. He was something else. He was a happy man, I guess, you know. But let's find out what mandrake is and why it was so important. This is a Mediterranean plant of nightshade family with white or purple flowers and large yellow berries. It has a forked, fleshy root that supposedly resembles a human form and was formerly widely used in medicine and magic, allegedly shrieking when pulled from the ground. It made a noise when it was pulled from the ground. But it was medicine. It was used for medicine and magic. But I don't know what Rachel was using it for. But anyway, but she said, it is a small matter that you have taken away my husband. Now, understand, you know, let's forget. I think Leah's kind of forgetting history when she knows good and well that Jacob was in love with her sister all along. And that it was her father that did some sneaky snake stuff, let's call it straight, and put her in her sister's place. She knows that. So now she's going to act like he was my husband when you know he didn't love you in the beginning. He had because you are his wife. And, yes, you bore him sons. And, yes, you have probably done everything you could to keep him as your husband. But he was in love with your sister all along. So, you know, don't get your all upset because now he loves your sister because he always loved her. So that jealousy thing came in. Let's keep it going. And then it goes on to say, but I have a feeling that Laban knew that if he didn't marry her off when he had an opportunity, she probably would never have gotten married. And let's keep going. And it said, Rachel said, therefore he will lie with you. So she said, okay, you know, that you done took my husband. Now you want to take the mandrake. Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he will lie with you tonight, son's mandrake. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come into me, for I surely hired you with my son's mandrake. And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dina. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you. Let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages and I will give it. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you have had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own house? So he's been working basically for his wife. He has, and he's been having babies and working for his father-in-law. But as far as stuff for himself and his family, he really doesn't have anything. Everything they have is the father-in-law. So now he's saying, you know, I want my own stuff. you know, basically give me my stuff back. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today. Remove from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen, if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So he made sure he moved his stuff away. Now Jacob, green poplar, and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rod, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flocks. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and the camels and donkeys. Again, trickster. He's like, okay, I don't work for you going on 20-some years now. I'm going to get mine. Meet with my wife, and now I'm going to trick you with these lambs and goats. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flock conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked and speckled and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. And now then, whatever God has said, you do it. Then Jacob arose, set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram, and go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. Now she knows good and well that Laban didn't do no idol stuff. Come on, let's keep it moving here. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban and the Syrian. Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey. And he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, "Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad." So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives, taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs with timbrels, and you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad.' And now you have surely gone because you greatly longed for your father's house, but you did not steal. But why did you steal my God?" Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I said, 'Perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live in the presence of our brethren. Identify what I have of yours and take it with you.' For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen him. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me." And he searched, but did not find the household idols. Angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me, although you have searched all my things? What part of your household things have you found? Set it here before me, before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sheep, my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I have served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac has been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." He's talking about it now. And Laban answered and said, "These daughters are my daughters. These children are my children. This flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have borne? Now, therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took the stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jegar Shahadatha, but Jacob called it Gilead. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Gilead, also Mizpah, because he said, and this is what we say every day, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take otherwise besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap, and here is this willow, which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judged between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread, and they stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. And we will, on Sunday, stay in the oath. And on Monday, we will go into our Matthew word. But God put it in my heart to finish this word this morning. We ended at Genesis chapter 32, which we will start on Sunday. There is not a blog on Saturdays. But I just wanted to try to hit a couple, if not a few, of the life lessons. And the first one is, I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Leah hoped to find happiness first in the love of her husband, then in the blessings of sons, but in the end she began to see that lasting contentment can be found only in an intimate relationship with God. That was Genesis 29 and 35. Genesis 30 and 2, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? When Rachel tried and failed to have children, her husband, Isaac, 25 and 21, Abraham had done the same for Abimelech's household, Genesis 20 and 17. But Jacob had not yet learned the power of being on his knees in prayer. He hadn't prayed for Rachel to have children. But God heard her prayers. You know, we have to pray and pray some more for our brothers and our sisters. And Genesis 31, 42. Unless the God of my father had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. Jacob was finally beginning to understand that scheming for blessings cannot compete with God-given blessings. Praise God. Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. When the passage calls God the fear of Isaac, see Genesis 31, 42, it declares that God is not only loving, but just, not only gentle, but strong, what Romans 11 and 22 calls the goodness and severity of God. What a great word this morning. Oh, my. And so for those that have not been with us, every day when we end this blog, we end with the Mizpah prayer, which is, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. And that prayer has always been with me. It was a prayer that I prayed every night between my husband and I. We actually wore a mizpah around our necks. His half was Pa, my half was Ma. Mine was Miz, his was Pa, I should say. And it, when it broken in half, it was put back together, it was the mizpah prayer. My husband was a policeman. He's actually a state trooper. And again, every time he left the home, we did not know if it would be the last time I saw him. So we prayed that prayer every night. We never went a day without praying together through our entire marriage. Because when we first got married, he was a prison guard. And, of course, that's some rough work. But I am grateful that God put that prayer in my heart to share with you all. So that is our prayer every morning between us, that God will watch over us together, that he will watch between you and I when we are apart. But the word for this morning from our sister in Christ, Sister Carol, is don't let stress get the best of you. God is the ultimate problem solver. Have a Follow God Friday. And again, always her word just seems to flow right in to our lesson. You know, Jacob stressing because he was working basically for free for Laban for 7 years. But understand that God is the ultimate problem solver because God gave him in a dream what to do, how to get the flock that would be his flock. And God told him when to leave. He left when God said leave. Everything that God put in place, but he had to show him how it felt to be cheated, just like he cheated his brother. So he had to work some years. Because he didn't realize he was in repentance. Repentance for what he had done to Esau. Repentance in what he had done to tricking his father. He was in repentance. So that's why he stayed them years. 20 years he worked for his father-in-law to get his blessing, to take his wives and his children where they needed to go, home. So that is our word for today. And again, you know, God was mindful of Jacob. God is mindful of us. And a word again for the day, what Psalms 8:4, again, a highlightable. What is a man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? The more we learn about the vastness of the universe, the more powerful this question becomes. Although we are but a speck drifting in the immensity of the cosmos, God places his love and unwavering attention on us. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, and thank you, family, for joining me this morning. And just keep it in your heart that God is mindful of you and that he loves you more than you can imagine. And your blessings are irrevocable. I don't care, you can work for 7 years. But understand in the last six, God's going to give you your blessing because he is mindful of you. Be blessed, family. And as Sister Carolyn said, don't let stress get the best of you. God is the ultimate problem solver. Have a Follow God Friday, and I just say have a faith-filled Friday, knowing that the Lord is with you and that he will never leave you or forsake you. Thank you again for joining us. Again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Have a blessed and glorious weekend. Join me again on Sunday at 7 a.m. as we continue in our Genesis word going into Matthew. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.